You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX, in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 minutes till 11 AM here on this Friday, April 5th, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. Joining me today is Dave Grabowski from the Crookston Police Department. And Dave, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
So it's been a while since Valley Talk has had you on. So what, again, is your role?
So I'm a detective sergeant with the Crookston Police Department, which essentially just means I supervise our investigations division, as well as daytime supervision and assistance with our patrolmen. I investigate our more complex and severe crimes.
So you're busy.
Busy is, yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, very busy. We're going to be talking today about active intruder training, and this is something that sounds like you're very passionate about.
Yeah, definitely passionate about. Obviously, when you get into law enforcement, everything's a life-saving mission, right? We want to do things that we know can have a positive and immediate impact. This is something that the police department's been doing for a really long time. And about the time I got into general investigations as a detective, I started getting invested in just our active intruder awareness and training. I kind of had it turned over to me several years ago, and I've been running with it and really enjoy doing it.
So what have you learned about active intruders?
Oh, boy. It's one of those things. You can't predict it. You never really know where or when it's going to happen. I mean, there's indicators that maybe can give an idea to some, like, you know, the see something, say something mentality. But just the overall carnage and unpredictability of it. So what we have learned is that action always beats reaction, right? And in a situation where that happens, we always have to react. So if we can get you in that mental preparedness to where you can have a plan, so you can go from a reaction to an action mode, and it's just shown that it's increased life-saving efforts in these situations.
So what exactly would be a good plan?
So what we teach is essentially four kind of key points. One is just that mentality, having that survivor mindset, having that will to win. Just being prepared mentally and physically to deal with that situation. So we have the emphasis is still that run, hide, fight. In that order, depending on the scenario, sometimes you're not able to run and you have to go into that hide or fight, or sometimes you may have to jump right to that fight mindset. So, those are the big things that we address and emphasize on.
Well, and I think, you know, probably the hardest part is, you know, you can plan all you want, but every single active intruder case is going to be so unique in some sort of way.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we have the general ideas of what one is. So an active intruder, or an active shooter, as a lot of people call it, we've gone away from calling it an active shooter because there's so many instances that involve edge weapons, blunt objects, vehicles, things like that. It doesn't always entail using a firearm, so which is why we call it an active intruder. And for anyone that doesn't know, all that is someone whose intent is on killing as many people as they can, or actively trying to in a populated area. So all the situations are different. The FBI has a really interesting to me resource guide, where every year they put out stats on the previous year, and they break everything down from time of day, the month, day of the week, and your locations on any new trends. So it was in 2012 that there was an executive order that the FBI was to start looking into these things to try to develop and understand those trends, for this reason, to educate the public, and again, with just that life-saving mission.
Have there been any trends?
So each year, it seems like there's new trends. In 2021, I believe there was like a rover, where they would start in one location and then move to another location. And so you know, dividing our first responders. They're dividing our efforts, right? Mm-hmm. But they're trying to cause as much carnage in as many places as they can. In 2022, the trend that kind of spiked was what they classify as an open space. So historically, when people think again of an active intruder, they think schools. Well, we've been doing these trainings in schools, and they're implementing all of these safety tips and recommendations, and our numbers have dropped drastically in schools. Well, then we saw businesses, places of commerce, those started going up. Well, you know, if we can restrict that access point for people of the public and limit where they have access to, then those numbers started dropping off. And so what we're seeing is that, like, that open space, parks, sides of roadways, concerts, things like that, where you can't truly restrict that coming and going, you're seeing those elevate those numbers. And all that shows is the things that we've been doing for churches, for or places of worship, for schools, that it's making those what we call a soft target a hard target.
So what is the difference between soft and a hard target?
So think of like cover and concealment, so to speak. So if you're playing hide and seek with your kid and they cover their eyes and they think, well, you can't see me, that would be concealment, where you just have your eyes covered, but there's really no protection or barrier there. Whereas cover would be like behind a brick wall, behind a big tree where like a bullet couldn't travel through easily. So what we emphasize on is if there's ways to make your place of business, your house of worship, your school more difficult, just for that ease of access. So for example, schools, you see nowadays, a lot of them have their time locks. You have to buzz in to go in. They're checking who's coming in. You're just not freely able to come and go. And that makes it a harder target, which makes it a less desirable target.
Are there any other, I guess, areas in our society as a whole where you're trying to make it, you know, go from that soft target to a hard target?
Anywhere, really. And so part of this, too, is with that survivor mindset, is we want to take that individual person and remove them from being a soft target into a hard target. And that's just, you know, giving them the tools, the knowledge, and the understanding of what they can do and what they should do in that situation. So yeah, down to the individual, up to a certain business. And yeah, if we can, like I said, educate and give them that information.
What are some tips to educate the audience on if they were to somehow come across a scenario like this? What are some of those good tips that they should follow?
Sure. So one is just having not having your blinders on. Mm-hmm. So being cognizant of your surroundings, being aware of changes that... You know, maybe you see a suspicious vehicle, or it's 4th of July and it's 100 degrees and there's that person with the trench coat type thing. And again, going back to that see something, say something, just being vigilant and not walking around again with your blinders on is the biggest thing. But then same thing when you're in your workplace or even at your home. Again, we run our fire drills. Everybody knows what to do in a fire. You evacuate, and if you get caught on fire, you stop, drop, and roll. And so this is kind of the same concept where we want you to try to get out if you can, and that's that run component. So just having an escape route planned out or in your mind, having a couple options, leaving your stuff behind if that incident does happen, like leaving your property, you know, grab your phone, or if it's February and 40 below, grab a jacket if you can. And where it gets kind of tough is when, you know, we recommend you just get out as fast as you can. So if you see someone wounded or laying there, it's better to bypass them and get out, because, again, this person's sole purpose is to cause as much carnage as they can. If you're fleeing an area and you see someone running to that area, just telling them, hey, don't go back there. You know, the intruder's back there. And then the hide component, if you're not able to run, or if run puts you in danger between you and the intruder, you know, they recommend you hide. And that means getting into a room you can lock or barricade the door. silencing your phone, and then calling 911 if it's safe to do so. If you're not able to run and hide, then it goes into that fight component, and that's where the where if you have to incapacitate the intruder, you just act with as much physical aggression as you can, use any improvised weapons that you can, and just commit to your actions, because your life does depend on it, and the life of others depends on it. I ask a lot of people, are you willing to die for your children? Everybody says, yes, of course. And one of the questions I like to ask is, well, are you willing to live for them too? And that just kind of goes into that mindset of how far you may have to go in order to survive. The other tidbit is just what to expect when law enforcement arrives, because we are coming. We want to get there as fast as we can. And just be prepared that law enforcement will arrive and will have firearms likely pointed at you or in your direction. We might be yelling, screaming. You're in a very traumatic situation. You see law enforcement, you want to run up and try to maybe even give us a hug, where we might push you away. And you're going to go, well, you're here to help. And, you know, we have our priorities that we have to do. So just avoid quick movements or furtive movements toward an officer. You know, have your hands up in that traditional surrender response. And then if you're able to, whether it's you've escaped by running, or if you're hiding and you're able to call 911, just try to provide really good information, the location of where the intruder was, how many there are, if there's more than one, any physical description, the number or type of weapon that they have, if it is a weapon, and then if there's any victims in your area or anything like that.
And how important is it for people to stay calm and try, you know, and obviously this would be a very traumatic situation, right? And you're immediately, the heart's going to be racing, your adrenaline's going to be going, but how important is it to, you know, try and stay calm? And as you said at first, you know, take the blinders off and be aware of all of your surroundings.
Yeah. It's hard to tell someone, hey, you need to stay calm in this, because it's going to be probably the most chaotic and scary thing that someone would experience. But I think just having those tools to where, instead of having the I don't know what to do or I don't know where to go, where that causes that panic and it causes that like paralysis by analysis of you're trying to figure it out. So again, going back to just having that plan and that mental and physical preparedness gives you something to fall back onto. And I think that is maybe kind of what you're getting at. But just being able to fall back into that, something you've pre-rehearsed to where your muscle memory is going to kick in, that is the most important.
Is there any way that you can, you know, rehearse this in some sort of way or get some sort of practice or training on it?
100%, yeah. So again, the FBI has, if you just Google FBI resource page on active intruder, active shooter, they actually have like generic kind of procedural plans that they can recommend. If you don't want to go that route, I always recommend or suggest even just doing tabletop discussions, kind of what we're doing, where if you're in your office, go, you bring everybody in and just say, okay, if this person comes in the east door and he has a gun, what are you going to do from where your desk is at? You know, so if someone came in right now while we're having this conversation, what's our plan? Knowing your exits, knowing, you know, you can go out a window, things like that. So tabletop discussions, you can always do walkthroughs, just like people do, you know, the fire drills, where you're actually leaving your building, like our schools do our soft and hard lockdown practices, our ALICE training, where we take our teachers through what to do, more of a hands-on training. You know, with our officers, obviously our training and response is going to be a little bit different, but we do our annual active intruder response. So we go through everything we're going to do. But it can be as simple as just talking through it with that table talk to having an actual walkthrough with the people you work with on what you do or where you'd go.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's mainly the attempt to normalize it in a sense to where you're not unfamiliar with what to do in a certain scenario.
Yeah. I love the idea of just kind of normalizing it, because you talk about active shooter, active intruder, and it's such a popular kind of topic or trend. And people definitely get kind of put off by it, going, oh man, I hope this never happens. And nobody wants it to happen. But again, when's the last time someone's students died in a school fire? And yet we still do our fire drills. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do those anymore, but we just need to normalize it in the sense of this is just routine. You know, when you go driving down the road, you expect to get in a car accident. No, but we practice defensive driving and safe driving tactics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing. Just normalize it, just like we teach our kids to call 911 on a phone. But these things that you do, or if you do start implementing it in the workplace, it's things you can take in your personal life too. When you go to a restaurant or you know, go to the mall, just make a mental note of where the exits are. Make a mental note of where your car is. Where would you go? You know, if you're at a restaurant and something happens, just pointing to an exit and telling your kids, hey, that's the nearest exit. But yeah, just normalizing it so all of a sudden it's not so icky, so to speak, when that conversation does happen.
Because it feels like a conversation like this only happens when an event happens, and so it's always great to kind of get out ahead of it. It's like, you know, the tornado sirens that mm-hmm. goes off, you know, every month. Those go off for a reason.
Yep.
You know, not so then every single time it goes, you know, that's why we have those practices. And I think you know, it's kind of the same thing here, it sounds like, where it needs to be more normalized.
Yeah. And you know, our efforts here have, it's just unfortunately there's a need for it, just with what's happening in the last, you know, 20 years, well, forever. These active shooter is not something that just started a couple of years ago. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It's just, obviously, as technology advances, there's different changes in there. And, having these conversations and having these types of trainings, you know, our whole thing, unfortunately, with the need for it is, well, because we have the need for it, but working with our law enforcement partners, working with our schools, places of worship, places of industry, to just do these things. And again, it's all for life-saving cause. And if we can teach you or impart any wisdom that can better your chances of survival, like we want to, you know, divide or give so much effort and time to that. And which is why we do this program.
And I think it's also important to go back over, you know, what happens when law enforcement arrives at a scene like this, because like you had said earlier, you know, some people might want to run to the law enforcement and say, hey, you know, thank you very much. Well, you guys are just getting started.
Yeah. So our priorities are, our number one is to stop the threat. So we want you guys to flee the area. Simply because if there's less people there, their goal is to cause as much carnage as you can, right? So if we can reduce that population, lessen the available target, so to speak, for the intruder. So yeah, our number one priority is to go in and stop the threat. So we're bypassing you as you're maybe fleeing. If we see you hiding, we're bypassing you. If you're you know, barricading or doing whatever. If you're wounded, unfortunately, we're bypassing you because we need to stop further carnage from happening. And I think that's important to note too, because again, you're seeing the police get there and you're going, they're running by me. Why aren't they helping me? So that first rush of officers that get there are going direct to threat. That next kind of stage or next tier of first responders that get there when it's safe is we go into that triage where we want to come in and we'll either extricate that person or we may even treat you at the scene and try to control that blood loss and things like that, again, to save lives. So the adage is stop the killing, stop the bleeding, stop the crying, so to speak. So that's kind of our priority scale.
Well, Dave, this has been very informative, and thank you very much for joining us on our Valley Talk program for today. And I think conversations like this need to happen more frequently.
I really appreciate you having me, and I hope anyone out there listening, that I don't want you to be scared or fearful. It's just letting you know that this is something that could or may happen. And again, just want to give you the tools to better enhance your ability and maybe save your life.
You can never be too prepared.
Never can be.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for everything that not just you do, but the police department as a whole. We're very thankful to have you guys do everything that you do for us.
You are more than welcome.
So that was Dave Grabowski from the Crookston Police Department joining us on our Valley Talk program.